Yeah, like that shit.
Calm your horses, Ahead. Well, shit, there's our introduction, I guess. Welcome, people. You are tuned in to yet another episode of Smoking One with Trip. And I'm in here with my guy and his great return.
Ahab, the incredible.
The incredible Ahab. But what's going on? Ahab, I know you weren't here last week, but I know you heard the podcast. And I know you heard about me talking about McDonald's new spicy McNugget they're coming out with.
Yes.
Well, remember how I said they were throwing shade at Wendy's because Wendy's is being able to sell their breakfast and shit?
Yes.
Well, what do you know? Fucking Wendy's tweets out some shade to McDonald's a few days ago on Twitter. Because, of course, I mean, it's who's got the best chicken nuggets? Who you think got the best chicken nuggets? You got Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King, Jack in the Box. Well,
Burger King's aren't. Oh, yeah, they do have nuggets.
Yeah, it's like $1 for $20. Shit.
I still would have to go with Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr. chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had chicken nuggets. I thought they only had chicken strips.
Chicken stars.
Oh, excuse me. Chicken stars. Oh, the stars. But no, okay. So, yeah, I guess with all, you know, this chicken nugget beef going on. Chicken nugget beef. Get it? When Wendy's fan tweeted out to Wendy's asking how they felt about McDonald's new nuggets, to which Wendy's replied, they must have scraped up all the BK's leftovers and slapped a McPrice on it. Yeah. Fucking talking shit. And then another fan tweeted out, I'm going to buy McDonald's, cry, swallow it, and reward myself with Wendy's. To which then Wendy's also replied, sometimes you have to realize how bad things can be in order to realize how good you have it.
Well, I mean, that's true.
Yeah, I mean,
I think about it.
I fucks with Wendy's strictly for their Twitter account. I know you see sometimes the memes on there, they got like different fast food restaurants and shit. They be going back and forth. Wendy's has no boundaries. Well, they got boundaries, obviously, but Wendy's goes hard. Wendy's be putting out some savage shit. And McDonald's or Burger King both haven't responded yet. Which, I mean, shit, they slacking. They need to get on their PR shit. Shit, McDonald's, Burger King, hit me up. I got roast for days. I'll roast Wendy's so damn hard.
That's true.
But yeah, moving on. I just figured I'd bring that little one up just because we were talking about the spicy McNuggets yesterday. Since we're talking about Twitter, I seen this thing about Facebook. They took off 13 Russian-linked accounts designed to fuel U.S. chaos. Now, with all this shit going on with politics and stuff, remember last election year, they were talking about Trump and having Russia involved in the election.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, I guess these Russian Facebook accounts and two pages posing as journalists were removed for violating policy against foreign interference. Now, basically what they're doing is just putting out a whole bunch of like anti-democratic shit and just a bunch of like conspiracy theories, just putting out a bunch of bullshit, you know what I mean? To fuel the fire. And I guess their main, what would you say?
Their main point?
Keep hitting me with him. I can't think of it.
Topic?
No.
Solution?
No, their main audience. There you go. Their main target audience. Their main target audience is...
Main target, didn't they?
Maybe. Okay, kind of, maybe. But their main target audience is people who are for the Democrats, but can be persuaded to go away from the Democratic scene. So they're... just basically trying to get people to go against Biden and Harris right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, it looks like
all Democrats want right now.
Yeah, and that's no surprise that you know, Russia's team Trump. We've been saying that since the first election, nigga, that Putin and Trump been having that little thing going on.
Yeah, they're buddy-buddy.
Yeah, and Putin finna be president for life over there. Shit, he plugged in. Now, I guess it all started with just a little tip from the FBI. And they said they were still in the early stages of building a platform and an audience. So there wasn't no, like, major pages. Like, they had a whole bunch of followings or nothing like that. They were just really getting started, I guess. And along with that, I guess Twitter also suspended 5 accounts for the same reason.
Oh, well, I wonder if there's going to be any Snapchat ones or Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're out there. It's just going to take a minute, you know, to filter them all out. But I guaranteed they're out there for sure. Actually, cool little kind of side note. My sister's boyfriend actually used to work for Instagram in...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they like reported photos and reported profiles and stuff would go to him. And then he goes through like the photo and the Instagram profile and he decides whether it should be removed. You know, the account should be blocked. Oh, okay, all that yeah. Shit.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool. I don't think he does it anymore, but I thought that shit was kind of cool. And that leads me actually right on into our next story, Ahab. Pinterest just canceled a 490,000 square foot lease at an unbuilt project in San Francisco. Now, they're going to continue, I guess, at four existing San Francisco offices, but they were nowhere close to 490,000 square feet.
Damn, that's big.
Yeah. Now, I guess the lease was looking at about $440 million, and guess how much?
See why they're stopping? Because with COVID, they don't have any money.
Yeah, guess how much they had to pay just to drop out of the $440 million contract.
Probably. I mean, I'm probably gonna be way off, but I'm gonna say like $50 million.
I guess you're not way off. $89.5 million just to cancel.
And it was $440 million to buy it.
And for the lease would have been about $440 million.
So they wasted about $450 million.
How so?
$440 million to start and they lost.
No. Oh. Okay, so the lease, to get into the lease, they would, you know, they would have been making payments on it and all that shit.
Okay.
But it was $440 million, the whole total lease.
Okay.
It was $440 million. So like they could have had a lease for like 10 years. And within that 10 years, it would have equaled out to $440 million to pay off. Just like a house or just like, you know what okay, I mean? Just okay, like yeah, anything yeah. else.
Okay.
So in order to cancel that, they had to pay damn near $90
million. Oh, okay.
But yeah, so this is just another sign of working from home basically becoming the new normal. I mean, fucking Twitter and Square have already fucking kicked it off and are allowing all employees to work from home forever. And then Facebook says half its employees will be working from home within the next decade. So, I mean, that's definitely becoming the new norm. And I think we're going to see a lot more fucking big companies backing out of these big contracts, you know, these big office buildings. And, you know, San Francisco's taking a hit right now because everybody in the offices and all that, you can do it from home.
Yeah.
You know, set up shop at home, fucking computer in a chair. Bam, I'm at work.
Computer in your couch.
Exactly. And you have your own fucking, your own timeline. You work on your own time. What? So it's going to be interesting to see how these companies move forward with or without the COVID, you know, because it seems like even without the COVID in the future, they're still going to have people working from home, which I'm saying they're probably saving them a lot of fucking money.
I mean, yeah, gas and or paying for transportation like bus fare or train fare.
Yeah, you don't have to pay for none of that shit. You don't have to pay for none of the cubicles. You don't have to pay for none of the office space. No parking. No fucking electricity bill. You're not paying for none of that shit. Everybody's working from home. You don't have to worry about it. I mean, I guess it'll provide a easier way to do this new coronavirus testing, quote unquote. I mean, as the University of Arizona discovers 2 asymptomatic students with the coronavirus through contact tracing, swab testing, and
What?
You haven't got a guess for me?
No, I don't.
Analyzing sewage.
Oh, so it's Micro's dirty jobs.
They're testing your shit. Yeah. But no, it's called wastewater-based epidemiology. And it gives a way to look for traces with a whole group or community of people. So basically people are, well, not just anybody, but these researchers are going down into like the sewages of like a certain apartment building or like, you know, a certain like a library or a business, whatever.
Yeah.
Going in there, testing their sewage, their fecal matter. And within that fecal matter, they say coronavirus will show up to a week before somebody starts showing symptoms.
Okay.
So if they find any type of coronavirus traces within the fecal matter of the sewage system, they know to tell that whole building, hey, everybody in this fucking building needs to be tested. And then that's how they pluck out who's asymptomatic, who has the coronavirus, and then they quarantine them, you know, and then that's how they're going about it.
So what, they'll do it like midday so they know that everyone's there?
Actually, they're doing it around 8:30 a.m., prime poop time.
Okay, morning, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everybody takes a shit in the morning, I feel like. It's not like a good morning shit.
Is this just like office buildings, not like normal?
Well, honestly, it's at the University of Arizona right now. I seen they're doing it in the UK and somewhere else. I can't remember where else. But they're doing it in the UK also. But here it's at the University of Arizona, and they're doing it like at dorm buildings things like that to discover basically anybody who's asymptomatic. And they found two people through it.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is just a new way we are learning about this motherfucking virus. They say they're conducting regular tests twice a week across 20 buildings right now.
So 40 tests?
40 tests twice a week.
What if like someone has a visitor over in one of the dorms and they take a shit and their fecal matter tests, or they figure out it was that person, or either figure out it's that person, or they never find the positive person because they keep testing and everyone tests negative. Well,
that's how you do the contact tracing. So basically, once you do the contact tracing, you're relying on everybody else to be like, look, this person was over there. So, I mean, if dude got a side chick over and they come over to the house and his girlfriend there, he going to have to fess up. Or I mean, he probably going to lie, to be honest with you. He probably going to lie. This is all you're going to hear right here when they ask him the questions. But fucking, that's where the contact tracing comes in. So basically you contact anybody who has been there within that amount of time, you know, within what, 14 days is the symptoms or some shit like that, the window basically.
Yeah.
Within 14 days, anybody who's been there, contact them to have them tested. So anybody who's been anywhere around that building, at that building, gets tested. And then that's how they pluck out the ones.
So obviously it's new age technology in that building. And they have cameras everywhere.
Yes. Or well, no. No. It's just based on people.
What if you just said
that's what I'm saying. Like that's example, what I'm saying. Like, you have to trust your neighbor. This is where it comes in, where us as a people have to all participate and do our job.
Okay.
But I also did see the thing where did you see the CDC change the number of deaths on us?
Oh yeah, because they're using just anyone that died and saying, oh, they died of COVID.
Yeah, we said that. We said that. Everybody's been fucking saying that shit. And everyone, no, blah, blah, blah. But they fucking changed the number from like the 100,000s to like 10,000 or something like that. Didn't they? Something like that. I'm not going to give y'all exact numbers. So don't be all up in my DMs talking about, oh, it was this and this and this and this. But,
we're switched by CDC.
Yeah. But no, the CDC was playing us. I guess they were all playing us. But we'll see how this all plays out. Like I said, definitely believe the virus is real, but it's not really like they say it is. But enough coronavirus bullshit. Ahath, I got one for you. All right. The world's most expensive sheep sells at an auction in Scotland for, take a guess and I'll give you a dollar.
$1.2 billion.
Damn, $1.2 billion for a fucking sheep? God, dog. No. The world's most expensive sheep sells at an auction in Scotland for $490,000. Oh, man. That'd be crazy, though. I mean, you never know. But it's called a Texel ram lamb. And I guess his father was valued at more than $86,000. And the ewe, his mom, was valued at more than $46,000. Now, they must be some expensive fucking sheep.
They must be like some tested, like test sheep.
Not well, honestly, they breed them. So that's the goal of why these three farmers came together to buy this one prized lamb who goes by the name Double Diamond, which I thought that was a stupid name for a fucking sheep. $500,000 sheep. You know what I mean? Really? You can come up with something better than that. But yeah, the three farmers came together to buy this sheep, and they're planning on breeding them and selling the lambs, the babies. Or, I mean, selling probably adult rams, the whole shit. True. It's all for breeding. And they say that these special lambs out of Scotland are fucking like prime for butchering, like perfect, the perfect sheep for butchering.
Okay.
Now, this new record shattered the old record set in 2009 at $300,000. Now, this makes me kind of want to think into getting some fucking sheep. Well, let's keep it on moving, Ahath, while on the topic of money. And this woman filed a lawsuit against the DEA for violating the Fourth Amendment and taking $43,000 from her without any evidence of criminal activity.
What the hell?
Yeah, she had $43,000 cash on her, and the DEA swiped her. Now, her and her husband were flying from Tampa to North Carolina for a casino reopening last May. Now, I guess they're recreational gamblers, so if they're flying...
I mean, that makes sense once you said casino. Like,
yeah, well, if they're flying just for a casino reopening, you know they're spending money out there at the casinos. True.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do that shit for nothing. So, their excuse for having so much cash on them is they met with friends who were interested in buying her car and paid her cash for it. And then she took the money that she had for gambling and the money her friends gave her for the car, put it in her bag for the carry-on. Then the TSA discovered it while doing a screening, like the great almighty TSA does. And they seen all this cash, contacted the local deputy. The local deputy and TSA agents just started fucking grilling her ass and called her explanation fishy, quote unquote. Even after she called her friend that bought the car off of her, and the friend was like, yeah, I gave her cash, you know, she's got the cash, this was whoopty whoop. They said because the friend couldn't say the exact number on the odometer, meter, that they called it bullshit.
Just like normal cops trying to call people out on their bullshit, but they're fucking wrong about it.
Yeah. So after all that, they called in two DEA agents who interrogated her and then took the money on suspicion of drug trafficking. Now, I guess over what? Between 2009 to 2013, over the past 4 years, between 4 years, the DEA had seized over $2 billion cash.
I guess that you can classify them as the real sticky bandits.
Yeah, right? Fucking just swiping people on, just saying, oh, well, you know what? I think he's selling coke. Let me go ahead and get them bandolos. But I guess they're involved in a few different lawsuits, including one with a 79-year-old retired railroad engineer who lost his life savings of $82,373.22. No, I'm just kidding about the 22 cents. But $82,373,000 after his daughter was in... What?
I was thinking that he had the money in a bag and they took it from him.
No, actually, his daughter, who is in a joint account with him, was in charge of depositing the money into the account. So she took the money back home with her and fucking DEA said, nope, we're going to go ahead and take that. Thank you very much. But it was only after that story made national headlines that the DEA agreed to give the fucking money back.
At least they gave the money back.
Yeah, but I mean, you shouldn't have to go through all that bullshit, you know what I mean?
No, I agree with
Just to get your own money back. I mean, given, yeah, some people are out there fucking doing their thing, you know, moving packs, doing whatever, bringing over money, bringing over weed, whatever the fuck it is. But you can tell who the fuck is doing it and who is not.
Exactly. None of those ones sound like drug traffickers.
Yeah. And I mean, $82,000, $43,000, that's a lot of fucking money. But it's not just like, oh my God, you're a fucking kingpin.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. And not to have any product on you and to be accused of drug trafficking. Like, obviously, you had to get past one way with all the drugs. So if you get past one way, then why are you going to get caught with just the money?
Yeah, I mean, it don't make no sense that people should have to go through lawsuits and shit just to get their own money back. And, you know, talking about the DEA or whatever makes me think of this one story I seen about the FBI investigating a pilot claiming he's seen a man with a jetpack 3,000 feet in the air while 10 miles out from a landing at LAX.
I feel like he was imagining things that he saw in Fortnite.
Well, they said a second pilot also confirmed the sighting and that the dude on the jetpack was only like
together.
I think it was him and his co-pilot. They both seen it, unless they were both
they were
rooming,
playing Fortnite like on the screen and they saw it.
Whatever. I was saying like Soul Plane when Snoop Dogg start fucking popping them shrooms.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead, take this one to the head. They said that the dude in the jetpack was only about 300 yards from him, or 300 feet.
I mean, yeah, either way, it's kind of...
But I mean, to be 3,000 feet in the air on a jetpack, normally when you see the jetpacks, they're like, you know, kind of skirting above...
A couple hundred feet at most.
Yeah, but this is 3,000 feet in the air. Yeah, exactly. In airway traffic. They're in fucking airway traffic at LAX.
They're in the sky like Thor or Iron Man.
Right? It's probably fucking Elon Musk out there fucking around. Now, they said the report was made with visual flight rules, meaning plenty visibility and no darkness. It was still daylight out. Now, they're not sure who the fuck it is, what it could have been, if it even was real. They think it could be an internet or a social media stunt. But the funny thing was, I guess the news contacted American Airlines. American Airlines told them to contact the FAA. Or the FAA. Yes, FAA. And then the FAA told them to go talk to LAPD. And then LAPD told them, we ain't heard shit.
Sounds like LAPD.
I mean, fuck, bro. What's going on over here? What's really going on? Maybe it was a UFO. Or maybe it was like an alien type shit. And they're trying to hide it from us.
Possibly.
Could be. But we're going to go ahead and keep these big old wheels turning Ahath. And I got a short little story for you. And I seen this woman in Russia slept outside and had to be rushed to the hospital after being found unconscious. Now, can you guess why she was unconscious?
She probably froze, but not froze. But
no, that's a good guess, though, because I guess Russia do be hella cold. But no. She had a whole ass snake removed from her throat.
Wow.
4 feet long.
So that wasn't just in her throat. That was in her fucking small and large intestines.
All the way down there. Like, if you watch the video, of course, I'm going to have the links in the description. Check it out. You can watch the video on the site. And the video shows the doctor going down with like the little camera and the little, you know, the thing with like the little grabber fucking shit going down in there, and he goes, oh, you know, what do we have here? And he fucking boom, and he pulls up, and it just keeps coming. It's a long ass snake. Fucking disgusting. Damn. It's trippy, and it makes me never ever want to sleep outside again. Now, I guess this isn't something that's super uncommon. I guess this does happen when people sleep outside, and you know, with their mouths open and shit. Yeah, I guess I seen
like spiders or like lizards and stuff.
Yeah.
People say that they'll crawl into your...
Oh, yeah. Spiders, for sure. They say you eat at least, what, three spiders a year or two spiders a year in your sleep?
I honestly thought I've heard more, but I mean,
maybe it's more, but the fact of the matter is you eating spiders in your sleep and all kind of shit. But to be honest with you, I'll take a spider over a snake any day.
Exactly. I don't know how she didn't wake up with that going down her throat.
Honestly, she probably did, and it like was already too far down her throat, and it just like suffocated the shit out of her, and she went unconscious, and then it just kept fucking slithering on down, and it was probably cold. It was probably cold that night, so that fucking snake was just trying to find the warmest spot, and she was probably breathing that hot ass dragon breath, and fucking
dragon breath. What tipped him off?
What tipped him off? What?
To like, actually, not that she was just not sleep, just regularly sleeping.
I don't know.
Oh.
Well, that brings me to my last little story for you, Ahab. And
last one already? Wow.
Yeah, we're moving right on along. Master P has released a new food product line called Uncle P's. And
Uncle P's?
Yeah, he's doing it in place of the Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's product brand.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Because his take on it is that Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's has been profiting off of African American, I guess, culture, the African American face. You know what I mean? Was just profiting on it and not giving back to African American communities. So his goal is to make something new out of it. Still have that little type of Louisiana feel. I guess it's really called Uncle P's Louisiana Seasoned Rice. And I mean, he's got rice, beans, grits, pancake mix, syrup, and oatmeal. My man's is really rocking it. Now, he's saying the portion of the profits will go towards education for inner city kids and assisting elderly people in black communities.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's legit, right? You can get behind that. Now, I guess it launched in March, and it wasn't really like a big deal or nothing like that until all this BLM shit started going on, and then you got people like Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's who are retiring the logos and shit behind BLM, you know, protests, trying to save face. I mean, the dude, I don't know if it's genius or if it's going to bust, but they said that it's selling out in stores. I'm definitely going to look for it. I doubt it'll be here, though. You're going to have to look in, like, the South, probably. Like, south down south.
Or Midwest.
The Midwest to find that shit. Probably East Coast, too. West Coast always.
Probably past Arizona.
Oh, yeah. You got to go past Arizona for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, hopefully they come out here. They said it's starting to sell out in other stores. There's a high demand for it right now. And, I mean, the dude opened a record store and started his own record label with, I mean, $10,000 because of a malpractice settlement from his grandfather's death. Yeah. And he turned that into his whole fucking empire now, you know, No Limits, P. Miller, doing the sports management, all kind of shit. So the dude is definitely an entrepreneurial genius because, I mean, I looked up his net worth was like $200 million. So his investing is definitely smart. Bad. Yeah, so the dude's not stupid. So I'm sure this is still going to, you know, make him some money. And it's definitely something to get behind, you know, throw some profits towards the inner city children and elderly people in black communities. But you know what time it is, Ahab.
It has time to shine. It has time to shine.
It has time to shine. It has time to shine. You're damn right, Ahab.
I'll be getting a new intro soon.
But nah, Ahab, go ahead and hit us with some sports, would you?
Okay, so the Seattle Seahawks had an in-practice the other day because their DN, Brandon Jackson, was knocked unconscious.
Ooh, like after a hit?
Yes. Replays showed Jackson's helmet colliding with that of his offensive tackle, Cedric Olabide, and they're both in their fifth season.
Oh, shit. So they out there banging already.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I guess you got to get as close to game speed as you can. Shit.
Yeah. As of yesterday, the Seahawks put him on IR for the whole season, discovering a potential dangerous situation with his spinal structure.
Wow, that's super unfortunate. All good vibes and prayers to him, you know what I mean? hopefully he makes a good recovery. There's nothing wrong there. But that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, same here. Prayers to him. Staying with football, lawyers say the NFL concussion settlement discriminates against black players.
Huh, why is that?
Lawyers from players Kevin Henry and Najee Davenport said their clients were denied awards based on discriminatory testing regime.
Wow. So they were just because they were just like slacking on testing and all that bullshit?
No, it weighs on sociological factors, including race. Both men have qualified for awards had race not been considered, they said.
Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. So basically, just because of their race, they didn't get those settlements that they, you know, could have gotten or should have gotten.
Or would have gotten if they were white.
Yeah. Should have, could have, would have. I don't mean it like that, but, you know, I was just quoting it.
I know how you mean.
But yeah, that's fucked up. Definitely a lot of shit's coming out to light nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
A whole lot of shit's coming to light. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Speaking about being fucked up, an Ohio State defensive lineman was reportedly shot in the face near campus. Speaking about losing or gaining something, anonymous kidney donor gives former NFL lineman Armonte Bryant new life.
Shit, that's dope. Anonymous too, so I wonder, maybe it could have been somebody close to him.
I wonder, the story or the article doesn't specify if it was someone close to him. It just says it was an anonymous donor. Anyways, Armonte Bryant was sitting in his dining room when a number he didn't recognize popped up on his phone.
Huh. And then they just, hey, we got a kidney for you. Come on, let's get it done.
Well, he doesn't usually answer phone calls with random numbers, but he said he was feeling good that day. Late January, so he said he would pick it up.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, shit, good thing he picked it up, you know, because he could have missed out on his blessing, because that is definitely a blessing. Because if you know, like I know, those waiting lines on organ donors and stuff, that's why people go to the black market and all that shit, because those lines are so,
exactly.
You know, you have to wait so long, you might not even ever get a kidney before you die.
True. He said when he answered it, the person on the other end was staffers from UC San Diego Health Center.
Damn, in the face?
Yes, but he is in stable condition. Ohio State defensive lineman Haskell Garrett is in stable condition after being shot in the face Sunday morning with an unknown gun at this time. Garrett was found in an apartment with the gunshot wound through both of his cheeks early Sunday morning.
Damn, so he probably got some teeth blown out and some more shit.
Yeah, I imagine.
Fuck, that's crazy. You know, good vibes to him, of course. Unless he was doing some stupid shit and deserved it, because some people deserve that shit, which I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure he doesn't. But, you know, good vibes and all that shit to him. I mean, hopefully he's good. Have you seen him play?
No.
Hopefully he's good, because if he gets to the NFL, that's a story. You know what I mean? He'll definitely have a story behind him.
The Columbus police responded to reports of a shooting around 12:30 Eastern time. Garrett was then taken to the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center, where he was pronounced in stable condition as of yesterday.
Well, that's cool. You know, at least he's in stable condition. Definitely could have been worse, you know, had it not been his cheek and, you know, the bullet went up or anything, you know, could have lost his life.
Yeah. Obviously, I mean, it sounds like it was probably a handgun or something like that. Because
it had to be.
A shotgun or anything would have probably killed him.
A shotgun, if it was like an assault rifle or something, that nigga's whole other side of his, the outside of his cheek is finna be blown out. Like, there's not finna be in and out. That shit's finna be blown out. Might lose his jaw, matter of fact. Was who?
Staff, people that worked at UC San Diego Health Center. Who had been on call or seen that he had been on the list for a long time, and they just ran tests and labs and said they needed to schedule for him to come in to fill out paperwork because he is getting the transfer or he got the kidney he needed.
Damn, so he had to fly from Ohio to San Diego?
It doesn't say that he flew. They were still in the process of doing all the paperwork and stuff, but mm-hmm. I mean, I assume so, unless they
flew or drove, but he...
No, I think they probably flew the organ to him in...
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would make more sense, I guess.
Yeah, I guess two time zones away, Deborah Mitchell, his mother, was eating dinner with his sister, and for the past month, for the past several months, she had been going in between Texas, LA, and San Diego to help her daughter, her mother, and her son.
Damn, that's a lot of going back and forth. That's a lot of traveling, Jack.
Especially for a mom of someone that has a terminal disease, I guess you want to call it.
Yeah, hell yeah, that's a lot on her. But, you know, blessings to him. He's gotten his kidney. So that should definitely take some weight off of her shoulders.
True.
True. So what else you got for me, yeah?
Okay, last two both have to deal with auctions.
What are we auctioning off?
First, Josh Gordon sold his Super Bowl
53
ring for $138,000 at an auction.
Damn, is he hurting for money or is he salty?
I don't know, but I mean, it was his Super Bowl ring from when he won with the Patriots, which was gifted to him by the Patriots despite not playing in the game.
Oh, so he was probably like, man, fuck it. I ain't even play for this shit. I ain't deserve it. I mean, he might be hurting for money and just
sold for $138,000.
And it isn't safe for charity or nothing like that?
Uh-uh. It just says at a sports auction.
That nigga just sold it for some ends. He motherfucker.
Probably to go get more weed.
That's crazy. Yeah, huh? Because he do be smoking hella tree.
Four times kicking out for testing positive for marijuana.
Yeah, fucking A.
Well, so last but not least, the other auction deals with two baseball legends.
Babe Ruth and Jackie Robinson.
Close. But Mickey Mantle and Sandy Koufax.
That was nowhere near close. What the fuck are you talking about? Close. I don't know who neither one of them niggas is.
Okay, anyways. Their game-worn jerseys may fetch seven figures at this certain auction.
Okay. Well, the same auction that just sold? No,
not Josh Gordon's auction, though.
Oh, okay, just a different one?
Yeah, it's a different auction for... they said it is a specialty auction for, like, legendary or, like, game-worn memorabilia.
Damn.
Game-worn, game-used memorabilia.
Yeah, kind of how, like, Michael Jordan's shoes sold for, like, what, almost half or over half a million or something like that?
Exactly. They said a signed jersey worn by the late legendary Mickey Mantle when he blasted the next-to-last home run of his storied career could fetch north of $1.5 million at the auction this next weekend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I bet. That'll reach some money. Sports memorabilia is definitely something to keep an eye on. I mean, I got some old fucking baseball cards in my drawers right now. I don't think they're worth nothing quite yet. I think the most one of them is worth is like $50. But I'm gonna sit on them motherfuckers.
You sure? It could be some of those tobacco cards we saw on that Getting Rich show.
I know, right? Damn near. But no, I don't think so. And it's crazy because I just came up on them at a foreclosed house. I was cleaning up. And there was just cards tossed all over the room. I'm talking like over 1,000 cards for sure. So I took them all, went through the bad ones, got the ones I thought would be worth some shit. And then, So who knows? Maybe I'll have a little $1 million ticket in there one day.
Some wealth coming to you.
Yeah, hopefully. Shit, does that conclude our little A-Has Time to Shine?
Yes, it does for the day.
Well, fuck. I guess that brings me on into my quote for the week. And this one's from Saint Jerome. That's the actual person, Saint Jerome, I guess. That's what it's telling me here.
That's odd.
But the quote is, good, better, best, never let it rest till your good is better and your better is best.
Little rhyme.
Yeah, little rhyme. And I like that one. Good, better, best, never let it rest till your good is better and your better is best. And the difference between good and great is a million miles. Right?
Yeah. Could be anything. Just this person's is a million.
Fuck it, A-Has. Oh, fuck. Well, that just about wraps it up for us here then, Ahab. This has been another Smoking One with Trips on Tuesday Newsday. I am Trip.
And Ahab.
And we is out of here, y'all.
That's all, folks.
Stay blessed. Peace.